Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. Today's shiur will serve as an introduction to what we'll be discussing in the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av. Hopefully, the learning that we do today and through the next 8 days will help us have a meaningful Tisha B'Av experience. Tisha B'Av commemorates several catastrophes, most notably the destruction of both Batei Mikdash. Of course, it's not simply the loss of the physical structure that we mourn. Our ability to keep the Torah the way it was intended was impaired when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. After all, there are many mitzvos that can only be performed when a Beis HaMikdash exists. But the significance is much deeper than that. It's about the loss of the close connection with Hashem, which we only have when there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Brachos states, "Miyom shacharav Beis HaMikdash nifsaka chomas barzel ben Yisrael la'aviyam shebashamayim." From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a wall of iron separates Yisrael from their Father in heaven. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's Shechina, His presence, was palpable. The Jewish people then had a special awareness of Hashem and a sense of clarity. But all that is gone. Tisha B'Av is the day that we mourn that loss, as well as other tragedies that befell the Jewish people. In order to help us grieve and feel a sense of bereavement that is befitting of Tisha B'Av, our rabbis instituted several observances of Avelos. We sit on low chairs and don't wear leather shoes, just like one who is mourning the death of a loved one. At the same time, there are some obvious differences between Tisha B'Av and Shiva, including abstaining from eating and drinking and reciting kinos, liturgical poems of grief. The reason for these disparities is explained in a Gemara in Yevamos, which differentiates between Avelos Chadasha, a new mourning caused by a tragedy which just struck a family or an individual, and Avelos Yeshana, an old mourning, resulting from a historical disaster. Rav Soloveitchik describes the first type, Avelos Chadasha, as an instinctual, spontaneous response of man to the traumatic confrontation with death. By contrast, for Avelos Yeshana, where we mourn over a past event, it's difficult to have an impulsive reaction, because the wound is no longer fresh. As such, this type of mourning needs to be artificially induced. That's the function of fasting and saying kinos on Tisha B'Av, to evoke feelings of anguish and loss that wouldn't otherwise come naturally to us. I'd like to take a minute to talk about another difference between Avelos over a loved one and Tisha B'Av. The periods that a mourner goes through are Shiva, Shloshim, and 12 months of mourning. The idea behind this graduated halachic framework is to give the bereaved time to express his anguish while slowly easing him back to regular life, one without his loved one. As this adjustment happens and the intensity of his grief wanes, so too the restrictions that Jewish law places on him diminish. This is the opposite of how it works for Tisha B'Av, and with good reason. Because Tisha B'Av represents Avelos Yeshana, mourning over a historical tragedy, our feelings of bereavement don't happen spontaneously. Instead, we need to develop and cultivate our grief, and we do this in stages. We start with the 3 weeks and move on to the 9 days, which then culminates in Tisha B'Av itself. Each of these periods is more restrictive than the previous one. The increasing physical deprivations are intended to trigger intensifying feelings of sadness over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It's important that we appreciate these time periods for what they're meant to accomplish. If we do this, our Tisha B'Av can be a meaningful experience. Another reason why it's important to prepare for Tisha B'Av during the 9 days is based on a Gemara in Tanis that compares the months of Av and Adar. As many people know, we are told, Misha nechnas Adar marbim besimcha, that in the month of Adar, the month when Purim is, we should increase our happiness. Perhaps less well known is that the Mishnah also tells us, Misha nechnas Av mematin besimcha, that when the month of Av approaches, which is obviously the month that includes Tisha B'Av, we should reduce our happiness. The Gemara that puts these two axioms together isn't comparing the holidays of Purim and Tisha B'Av, but rather the time leading up to those observances. Just as we spend the days and often weeks before Purim preparing for it, buying costumes, deciding on the perfect shalach manos, etc., so too we're instructed to spend the days heading into Tisha B'Av priming ourselves for the day. In both cases, the intense emotions that we're meant to experience, while on opposite sides of the spectrum, won't just come about instantly when the date of that holiday arrives, but needs to be developed in the period prior to that. So with all that in mind, we'll be spending these 9 days learning about the kinos that are recited on Tisha B'Av. I hope to share with you some of the themes and messages that the kinos are conveying and to bring about feelings of avelus over the Chorban. Much of what I'll be sharing with you is based on my book, Meaningful Kinos. The term kinos means elegies or sad poems and laments. They're recited by men and women, and they may be said whether in shul or at home. The most common theme of kinos is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the impact that it had on the Jewish people. Many of the kinos are based on the words of Megillas Eicha, which we read on the night of Tisha B'Av. Our kinos aren't just related to the words of Megillas Eicha, they're an expansion of them. The authors of the kinos took phrases from the Megillah, and through poetry and acrostics, they explained and elaborated on those words. It's worth noting that Eicha is not actually the official title of the Megillah. In the Gemara, Chazal referred to Megillas Eicha as kinos, and that's why in English, Megillas Eicha is called the Book of Lamentations. Since Megillas Eicha is the foundation for many of the kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av, it's worth taking a moment to discuss the major ideas of the Megillah. According to most Jewish authorities, Megillas Eicha was written by Yirmiyahu, 17 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Although it's written in the past tense, describing events as if they already occurred, it was actually created as a warning of what would happen if the Jewish people didn't change their ways. Yirmiyahu composed Megillas Eicha in stages. Initially, he wrote the first 2 chapters. He describes in harrowing detail the tragedies and calamities that would befall the Jewish people. In the first perek, Yirmiyahu depicts the torment and devastation resulting from the destruction of Yerushalayim and the exile of the Jews. The next perek identifies Hashem as the architect of our suffering, who unleashed his anger on us. It's difficult for us to hear Yirmiyahu hurling accusations at Hashem, because normally this type of speech is forbidden. Only for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was special license granted for Yirmiyahu and us through the kinos to do so. Yirmiyahu wrote these chapters, Prakim Aleph and Bet, on a scroll which was read before King Jehoiakim, the wicked Jewish king at the time. Upon hearing its words, the king grabbed the scroll and threw it into the fire. Yirmiyahu then rewrote the Megillah, this time adding the additional chapters of Prakim Gimel and Dalet. The third perek, which starts with the words Ani HaGeber, is written in first person, and it's much more personal in nature. Yirmiyahu cries over the fact that he has seen more torment than all of the Nevi'im before him. He feels helpless to stop the impending disaster because the people ridicule his warnings. In this perek, there's finally an acknowledgement that our pain and suffering are punishments for our sins. Perek Dalet returns to a description of the misery and the horrors. However, unlike Prakim Aleph and Bet, here Yirmiyahu confesses that we brought this suffering upon ourselves due to our sins. In one pasuk he writes, "Vayigdal avon basamim mechatas Sodom." The sins of the Jewish people are greater than that of Sodom. The fifth perek of Megillas Eicha, which completes the book, was written in response to the Chorban and not as a prophecy. In this perek, Yirmiyahu asks Hashem to remember our suffering and to return us to him. As noted, many of the kinos are based on the words of Megillas Eicha. Since much of the Megillah is in the order of the Aleph Beis, so too are many of the kinos. This ordering is meant to signify the completeness of our anguish, that we feel the gamut of afflictions from A to Z. One important feature of the Aleph Beis in several prakim in Megillas Eicha, and therefore in many of the kinos, is that the letter Pe follows the letter Ayin, even though that's not alphabetically correct. The Gemara explains that this anomaly is based on the original incident that occurred on the 9th of Av, when the spies gave a slanderous report about the land of Israel. According to the rabbis, the spies had determined in advance to speak negatively about the land. They had in their minds that Eretz Yisrael would be too difficult to conquer, in spite of the countless miracles that Hashem had done for Bnei Israel. Because of this lack of emunah, they went into Eretz Yisrael looking for ways to prove their point. When they showed Bnei Yisrael the large fruit of the land, they didn't praise the rich soil for producing such robust vegetation. Instead, they remarked that the sizable fruit indicated formidable inhabitants. This alarmed Bnei Yisrael, who now refused to proceed towards the land, exactly as the spies had intended. So what does this have to do with switching the letters in Megillas Eicha and in Kinos? When conveying that the Meraglim predetermined what their report of the land of Israel would be, the rabbis say that the spies hikdimu peh la'ayin, they put their mouth before the eye. The Gemara is alluding to the fact that the letters peh and ayin are also words, meaning mouth and eye, respectively. An accurate report would have been based on what they actually saw, with the eye preceding the mouth. Their reversal resulted in a grave sin and is reflected in the order of the verses of Megillas Eicha, which records the devastating consequences of this episode. The original sin of Tisha B'Av, the one that ultimately led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, was the lack of emunah that was displayed during Chet HaMeraglim. As mentioned earlier, most of the kinos that we recite on Tisha B'Av discuss the various aspects of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. But they also include other themes. Many kinos discuss the devastation of Jewish communities at various times in our history, including during the First Crusade and the Holocaust. These tragedies are incorporated into our kinos for several reasons. First, we're indicating that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is the source of all calamities that befall the Jewish people. Without Hashem's Shechina protecting us, we're vulnerable and susceptible to our enemies. Second, Tisha B'Av was designated as the day to commemorate all suffering and misfortunes that the Jewish people have endured over the years. Instead of adding additional fast days to the Jewish calendar, other tragedies are subsumed within Tisha B'Av. A third theme of the kinos is the beauty of Yerushalayim before it was destroyed. The purpose of these kinos is to help us appreciate the magnitude of what was lost by recognizing the splendor and magnificence that once was. All of the kinos are meant to help us fulfill the obligation to mourn the tragedies that befell the Jewish people by evoking feelings of sadness, grief, and loss. The sages teach us that kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'roeh b'simchasa. Those who mourn over the destruction of Yerushalayim will have the merit to experience the joy upon its rebuilding. It's our fervent hope that this will happen in the very near future. Thank you for listening to Mourning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This shiur is dedicated le'ilo nishmas Moshe ben Eliyahu, Moshe Williams, alav shalom, who was Nifter B'Shem Tov Erev Shabbos Chazon, Ches Menachem Av Tafshin Pei Bet.